It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Championship week is upon us. Who's punching their tickets to the college football playoff? But before we go there, let's go, Michael Lombardi. USA. USA. As we welcome you in here. Lombardi
Did
Line,
VSiN,
the Sports Betting Network. We are kicking
Did we
off.
Kick it off?
Literally, as you ask me the question, we're underway. Qatar, Netherlands, USA. Fight for a right to move to the quarters there in the U.S., the World Cup. So we'll be focusing on this. I have to tell you, I know it's buzzing there at the Borgata. Michael Lombardi, of course, there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. We just saw a picture of what's going down at Circa back in Las Vegas. I know my friends are just down the road here at the pier in Hermosa Beach watching. There's a picture, Michael. You take a look of Circa, which is packed already at 7 o'clock in the morning. I got text messages from South Carolina, Michigan, New York City today. So friends are buzzing across the country for the USA at the World Cup.
Look, we need something to bond this country together, to take the politics out of it and bring us all together. You know, and soccer, which I don't understand anything about the game. My daughter-in-law was a scholarship soccer player at Fordham, so I've seen some games. But, I mean, we need this bonding. I mean, this is perfect, and hopefully we can continue the bonding and grow together. So hopefully it'll bring us all together. I love the fact that the Borgata, we got some action in here today. And people are into it, so it's great. I don't understand the game. You got to explain it. Don't ask me one question about what's going on, because I would be like Dan Campbell. I would not know.
Well, let's just put it this way. The Netherlands, you see the orange crush. They're wearing all orange. That's kind of their signature. The Dutch, let's be fair about the Dutch, though, Michael Lombardi. They're not playing in a conference championship game. They lost to a six-ranked Alabama. They play in a weak conference. The Dutch just now just playing, because we're going to get to the stipulations and what it takes to get to the Final Four. I feel like we're completely inundated with that. Last night, of course, USC's hopes were dashed by Utah. Utah plays spoiler. USC, the Final Four bid has been doused, 47-24. Really what happened here, Caleb Williams popped his hamstring, and once he did, that game was over, my man.
Yeah. I mean, look, the other thing is, too, is we said it yesterday, and I said it on Russo, this Utah team's tough. Like, you got to really be tough to beat them. I mean, they never have a top 30 recruiting class. They won't have one this year. All they do is just battle, and you can't put them away. I mean, you cannot put him away. And as I said on Russo yesterday, you know, for all the fanfare that Lincoln Riley gets as this great offensive guru, it really comes down to he's a single wing coach with no passing game. That's really what it is. It's a quarterback run game. It's a six-back attack. But they have really no passing game. Okay, you know, a receiver, they break a coverage and he throws it down the field. I love Caleb Williams. I think he's great. But I worry about him getting hurt, Patrick, and I worry about how good is their offense.
I think it's reasonable to worry. Now, let's set up today, and we'll get to it. I've actually got the title odds, and it may make Bill Berman and the Alabama crew happy, because take a look at the title odds right now. So Georgia, of course, is going to play LSU today, SEC championship game. They're minus 140 over at DraftKings to win a championship. Michigan, who plays an unranked Purdue team today, Big Ten championship game, they're 3.5 to 1. How about Ohio State? Ohio State's your third betting favorite, Michael Lombardi, at 4 to 1. They're obviously sitting 5 in the college football playoff rankings. They're not going to jump up, most would assume. Now, the question is, if TCU loses to Kansas State, I'll ask you, if TCU loses to Kansas State, they're 12 to 1 on the board right now to win a championship. Do they deserve to be in the Final Four? Okay, they'd be one loss. Of course, Alabama, 2 loss. Do you have TCU staying in?
I mean, look, if TCU can't stay in, what do we have this thing for, right? I mean, to me, you just hurt yourself by having a conference. The teams that don't go to the conference championship games benefit. I mean, Ohio State's sitting there at 5, and they're licking their chops. I mean, they knew, but you had to know between TCU and USC, one of those teams are going to lose their championship game, right? And you're going to get in. I said this about Tennessee. Tennessee would be in this if they could have beaten South Carolina that weekend. I mean, think about it, Patrick, right? I said this 3 weeks ago. Tennessee's, who's ever in the 5 slot, whoever's hitting 5, it's the best place to be. You don't have to play a game. You don't have to exert any energy. You just sit back and watch somebody else screw it up, and you're in, right? So, you're in.
So the biggest game of the year, they lost by 22 at home last week, and now they're chilling. They're going to be healthy going into the Final Four. You're saying that might be an advantage for Ohio State? I think you might be onto something here, Michael.
I mean, it's so perfect. Like, I mean, look, if Alabama, and I said this, I loved Alabama laying the 22 against Auburn, but I don't think Alabama's defense is anywhere near where it's been advertised all season long. And, you know, if they would have convincingly beat Auburn, which they should have done, then I think you could make the case that they're 5. They play a tough schedule. They battle through. But look, you know, when TCU beat Kansas State, you know, they were a good team. They won by 10. They beat the mighty Texas team, you know, who's coached by the greatest coach of all time, right? So, you know, and they were able to find a way to beat Baylor, you know, late in the game. Texas Tech's been on a heater. Texas Tech's been, not that they're a ranked team, but they're good. I don't know. You know, I mean, I know the Big 12 isn't great, but I think TCU deserves to stay in. Just because they lose a conference championship game when another team doesn't play one. Look, the Big 10, look, who has Ohio State beaten that you say, wow, that's a signature win?
Nobody. I mean, here's the thing, Mike. Sorry to cut you off, but here's the thing. If Ohio State played TCU on a neutral, and we'll bring Thomas Gable in to ask, Ohio State's going to be favored. Ohio State's
going to be
favored by
plenty.
But
there's price, as the great Vinny Maiulo says, there's prices and polls.
Yes, right? There are. Yes,
there are prices and polls.
Right.
I mean, Alabama would be favored against TCU. Alabama would be favored against USC. Alabama would be favored against Michigan.
I think it was Felica that said it. If it was Oklahoma or Texas representing the Big 12 and not TCU with one loss, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Right?
No,
because it's
a
brand.
Because it's brand. It's brand awareness. I mean, that's what makes this thing so comical. It's all about the brand awareness. It's all about who do we want in it. Like, I mean, Michigan today. I mean, Michigan, I mean, if they lose, where are they dropping to? Does Ohio State move ahead of them?
That's a good question. They're not going to drop out of the Final Four, Michigan, if they lost to Purdue. But what's funny about that is Purdue's terrible. Purdue just squeaked by Northwestern and Indiana. If Michigan lost to them, how do we judge that? I mean, that'd be a terrible loss.
Well, it would be. And I don't think they will, because you know why? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Michigan's tough. Tough teams don't usually lose. It may be a close game, and you may be right to take Michigan in the Purdue in the points, but Michigan's tough. Like, USC's
totally
not tough. USC is not tough at all. I don't care what you say. They will never be tough. Oklahoma was never tough. You know, you can have all the generals you can recruit out there to USC you want. You can have all the 5, 6, 7, 8-star generals you want. But Utah, which never had a top 30 class, which has never had a top 30 class, is tough.
Oh, no, you nailed it. I mean, basically, the gadget plays from Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, who most likely, he's minus 1,600 to win the Heisman still, should win the Heisman as the U.S. had a scoring opportunity with the crosser there. And then they basically worked on, what, takeaways on defense. They weren't tough on defense. They were opportunistic on defense, and that's kind of kept USC afloat. Well, conversely, can I bring up a team to you? And that is TCU. Let me walk you through what happened with TCU here. They played Oklahoma, who was then 18. They then go on the road to Kansas. You remember, Michael, that was 19th ranked then. They then come home and play Oklahoma State, who was 8th ranked. They then beat Kansas State. They then went to West Virginia. I mean, this is a team that everybody's waiting for the shoe to drop in TCU, and they keep on answering the bell, including last week at Baylor.
And they're the third best offense, scoring offense in all of football, right? They are the seventh best offense in terms of yards per attempt. I mean, they're 27th, and this is in the country. This isn't in their conference, right? They're 16th best total offense in the country. Their relative scoring offense is 8th, right? This is a good team, and they're tough, and they know how to battle. Now, they're not great on defense. You know, they're 73rd in the nation on total defense, but they battle and they play hard and they're well coached, and you got to give them credit here, you know. And this will be a hard game for them because Kansas State's a good team too. It's hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, 100%. So let me just set it up quickly here, and we'll give you the numbers, and we'll come back and we'll start capping these games properly. Pardon me. The first one, as soon as we get off the air, an hour in, we're going to have Kansas State TCU. Do you know the number right now? It's essentially a pick 'em, Kansas State and TCU. It's essentially a pick 'em right now. 61.5, 60.5, somewhere right there on the total.
Uh-oh, what happened?
The United States with another crosser. Okay, we'll keep you updated there. Georgia against 14 LSU. How about there would be some juice in this matchup if LSU hadn't lost to A&M last week?
Did Amsterdam just score? I think the Netherlands just scored, Patrick.
Did they just score? I'm behind you. Yes, they did. A beautiful crosser. And the Dutch, first up, 1-0. In the 9th minute, World Cup knockout round. Jeez Louise.
So if we don't win this, we're out.
This is single elimination. So round robin with the group play into the round of 16 or the knockout stage, which is where we are right now. So this isn't whoever loses heads back to either the Netherlands or the United States. And right now, an early goal. I mean, look, this is if you take a look at the FIFA rankings, for example, you know, they rank all the countries. The Netherlands are 8 and the United States are 16. And the United States were plus 325, plus 330 as far as the betting odds here. So they were prohibitive dogs coming into this matchup. So but surprising here because the Netherlands had been disappointing in group play, very underwhelming. You looked at all the metrics, they hadn't played well, and here they go. Before the 10th minute, they jump up 1-0 on the United States. So we'll keep you updated there. That's kind of depressing.
Well, we got to bally back. You know, we got to show some toughness. It's a long game. It's not over yet.
Hey, you know, hey, pad level, bro. Keep the pad level.
We got to get our pad
up.
Level back. We got to stop hitting the crossbar and get it into the net. That's my advice. Stop hitting the damn crossbar.
Georgia, LSU, of course, Michigan, Purdue, we mentioned. So we'll get to all the matchups. We're just getting started. We're riding with you. We're riding with the United States there in Qatar. He's Michael Lombardi riding at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles as we continue. Lombardi Line, championship week is upon us. We're coming up next here at Lombardi Line.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, at First Bet, Express Bet, here are Jeff Siegel's best plays for Saturday today, both at Del Mar. His top pick in the fourth race, he's got the four horse, McKenna, 3-1 on top. Jeff has in the ninth race, he's got the three horse, Celestial City at 4-1. It's a good horse. You can check out those horses and those races over at First Bet Express Bet, VSiN.com/horses. Remember, when you sign up right now, you get $10 free. If you use the code HORSE200, you get a $200 deposit match bonus. So make sure you check that out. Again, in the fourth, he has Spirit of Makina at 3-1. In the ninth, he's got the three horse, Celestial City, today at Del Mar. As we welcome you back, Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata, where everything's kind of gotten quiet because, as we say hi and welcome you in, hope you're having a nice weekend. I'm Patrick Maher. The Netherlands scored in the ninth minute, so they're up 1-0. We're 15 minutes in, so plenty of time to go here. Michael Lombardi, the soccer expert there, will keep us updated as this match plays out. Yeah. Plenty of time for the United States to get the equalizer here, though, Michael.
Yeah, let's not panic. I mean, you know, nobody said it's going to be easy, right? Like, everybody thinks the games are going to be over in the first period. Like, every game, you know, the San Francisco-Miami game tomorrow, you know, no game ends in the first quarter. Like, you just got to keep fighting, even when you're a double-digit favorite. Like, one of the things that gets you is when you think you're going to win the game. No game's easy. They're all hard. And it's through body punches, it's through wearing teams down that you kind of do it. I think Michigan's a perfect example of that this year. I mean, Michigan, if you look at their first half scores, they're in a lot of tight games. Rutgers was a tight game. Indiana, all of them are tight games, and yet they wear you down because their toughness goes over an extended period of time.
A great example of it's not over. how about last night? USC jumped out to a 14-3 lead over Utah, and Utah came back and scored 24 unanswered. So it's not over, and we'll keep you updated.
You could just see that game last night that there was just innate toughness on Utah. I love Utah's offense. I love their under center. I love their spread. I love everything Utah does. I love everything Utah stands for. I love Whittingham. He's just an old ball coach. And his team and the way he recruits there with his players. And look, it's just a program that is built on a foundation of who they are. They understand exactly who they are and what kind of kids they need to play within their program.
Yeah, there was some irony there because you mentioned Whittingham. Whittingham had been tied for years to potentially taking that USC job, but he stayed at Utah, which is a good job, but not necessarily on the level of USC as far as national prominence. But he's done a hell of a job. He's back-to-back Pac-12 championships there at Utah after winning it last year, beating Oregon there in Vegas as well. And USC, look, they had 20 incoming transfers, which was the most nationally. Of course, Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley came over together. So he'll have plenty of time to build a program there at USC, and a nice first year for Lincoln Riley, no doubt.
No doubt. But, I mean, he's going to have to build a toughness pro. He's going to have to get toughness to his team. He didn't have it at Oklahoma, and he's not going to have it at SC unless he changes. I mean, that's just the fact. I mean, the media makes him out to be this incredible offensive guru. In fact, Russo asked me on television on our show yesterday about, is Lincoln Riley ready to be a head coach in the NFL? Please. His passing game is really just a misdirection pass. It's no passing game. It's all runs. And the team has no toughness. If you want to get on Cliff Kingsbury, get on him. But Lincoln Riley and Cliff I mean, it's funny. Cliff Kingsbury, if he would have had the first quarter that Lincoln Riley had, they would have killed him. He got used two timeouts in the first quarter. Couldn't get the play calls in. That people would have gone berserk.
I think you and I called it a gadget offense yesterday when we were texting about Lincoln Riley's offense. A bit of a gadget offense, no doubt. Now, speaking of head coaches, Michael Lombardi, you've been way out in front of this. Deion Sanders is going to be named the next head coach at Colorado. You've been out in front of this for a little over a week now. Can you give us some information? Deion to Boulder. That's big news across the college
ranks. For the last 2 weeks, Deion has been trying to get together his coaching staff, and he's used his, a lot of his contacts to try to build Deion's going to be the CEO, the brand manager, and he's trying to build an organization out there, and he spent the last 2 weeks doing it, and Colorado has made a commitment to him. And my understanding from talking to coaches throughout the college football landscape is he's going to have $12 million of NIL money to spend on players. And one thing we know about Deion, he's going to get in homes. And he's going to be able to help that. Now, Boulder's a wonderful campus. And Boulder's, it's a good football state. Now, they don't have a lot of great players in the state. You have to go other way outside. You've got to go into L.A. And you've got to go into Texas, which I think Deion can do pretty well. Houston, Dallas, those areas you've got to be able to recruit. Because you can get a direct flight to Denver from anywhere. I mean, you can get from Mars to Denver. So, he's going to have that ability. And he's going to really be predicated on the offensive and defensive coaches that he can bring in and build the program. I think it's a great hire for Colorado. It gives them some brand relevance, which they desperately need, because only people as old as I am remember when Colorado was good.
Well, you just said brand relevance. Has there ever been a player? I mean, first off, his talent was unquestioned, but as a marketer or a self-promoter, Neon Deion, I mean, think about him back in the day. He was the greatest self-promoter, and he's going to sell kids on coming to Colorado.
Right, and the fact that kids still know about Deion today, right? That's really powerful. I mean, usually this generation doesn't remember the older generation. You ask a lot of people about, Paul. I was thinking yesterday watching the USC game about the great Paul Hornung, who played quarterback at Notre Dame and got transferred into running back. Like, I'm really believing that we are going to get two quarterbacks in the backfield. We're going to play an old school game. But players today don't remember Paul Hornung. Players today don't remember that the halfback pass out of the sweep was a huge part of an offense. That was a huge part of an offense, right? And so, like, the fact that Deion is still relevant today is a tribute to him. And then people go back and look at his YouTube videos, and he's incredible.
It's a great point. Yeah, I think it's fair to say a 20-year-old doesn't know old Paul Hornung, but they should. They should brush up on their history, Michael. What's up with that?
Well, I think coaches should. I think guys like Lincoln Riley and Nick Sirianni, like, I think you should really brush up, because just watching SC yesterday, like, you know, they should. Utah was almost doing it too. They brought that kid who was a quarterback in. They put him at running back. They moved around. Like, I think we're headed back to having two quarterbacks in the backfield. Basically, two running backs with one guy can throw it. Because in college football, the passing games aren't sophisticated. They really aren't. I mean, they're not. And so it's going to come down to, how do we do it? I mean, you know, the great Green Bay Packers teams with Cecil LaBelle and Arnie Harmer. I mean, those guys were, you know, they had two quarterbacks in the backfield. And they were throwing a football, Patrick, that was like the ball looked like a medicine ball that they were throwing back then.
It was a rock, yes. Especially if it got moisture. How about this? So Deion to Colorado, Hugh Freeze to Auburn. Do either surprise you? Does it surprise you Deion went to a school that's been so down for such a period of time now?
I give Deion credit. You know, Deion was up for the Arkansas job a couple years ago. He didn't get it. It went to Sam Pittman. Deion did exactly what Bill Walsh always told coaches what to do. If you want to be a head coach, go be one. And he went to Jackson State, and everybody said, oh, he can't do it. And he won, and he proved himself. So now he gets Colorado. You know, Bo Jackson wanted him for the Auburn job. I don't know why he didn't get the Auburn job, but he wasn't involved. So what other job could he have gotten? Colorado's a great job, great town to live in. And I think he'll do it as the brand manager. Is he going to be the game day coach? No. But he'll be the guy who can get players, motivate players, and he's going to rely on a really good coaching staff.
How about Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I was impressed by Hugh Freeze at Liberty. I always thought Hugh Freeze was more of a salesman than a coach, and I was wrong on that. I think he's obviously done a good job of coaching, and he built a program at Liberty that you got to give him credit for building. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, I think Auburn, look, he'll recruit. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to recruit in the Southeast Conference. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but I think he can do this because Auburn's always been very good at recruiting, and it's going to come down to in-game adjustments and how he handles Georgia, how he handles Alabama. But Auburn is a tough team. I mean, they can recruit. They know how to do it in the Southeast Conference.
Are you hearing – so I'll just stretch this a little bit, and we'll come back and get to Kansas State and TCU. Are you hearing any other shakeups amongst the college ranks and coaches? Are you hearing any other rumblings?
I haven't heard too much about anything else. I think it's pretty quiet. You know, West Virginia, everybody thought Neil Allen was going to get fired. He came back. They stayed the course with him. So I think that's kind of in limbo. And now a lot of it is just getting coaching staffs ready to go. I think, you know, Matt Rhule's getting his staff going. Cincinnati's still open. I don't know who's going to get that job. I think they're going to make an announcement by the end of the weekend at Cincinnati, which is an interesting job because Cincinnati's one of those places that they, you know, Cincinnati has to have a guy who's tough-minded, you know, who can recruit that 300-mile radius that Luke Fickell recruited and can also go into Florida and get players. You know, they're going to the Big 12. And if you're going to the Big 12, you better have some toughness.
And Chip Kelly, D'Antonio, Butch Davis. I mean, excuse me. Am I thinking of the right coach? Butch Davis went to Tennessee. Butch Jones, pardon me.
Butch
Cincinnati's
Jones.
Always been it's always been a spot where you can launch into a big job. And that's also Fickell did a hell of a job there. Final Four appearance.
The only guy that didn't succeed there was Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah,
Tuberville. I mean, he's the only guy.
Correct.
He was, you know, because he was too busy being a politician and not being a coach.
100%. Okay, that's the head coaching news. You mentioned Matt Rhule, Nebraska, as he builds his staff as well. Cincinnati's still open. We are sitting 25th minute in Qatar. Netherlands 1, the United States 0. We'll keep you updated. Plenty of time to go. So let's go USA. We'll keep you updated. We'll be riding with you throughout the whole entire Lombardi line. We come back and we get to the Big 12. Arlington, of course, they're playing at Jerry World. Kansas State, TCU next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, I've got some great news for you. Cyber Monday has been extended. It's Saturday, and we've extended it. We keep going. So become a VSiN Pro right now, an annual subscriber. What do you get? You get everything. You get our betting guides, including the World Cup betting guide, which you can download right now. College basketball, NHL, NFL, everything we offer. Michael Lombardi's look ahead, his exclusive articles. Of course, you get all the tools, including the betting splits, It's all available. We send you free picks every day right to your email. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. But the big deal with extending Cyber Monday is you get a $30 credit right now for free. We give you $30 to spend in the store. You get t-shirts, hats, mugs. It's all there. Go check it out. Cyber Monday has been extended, but not for much longer. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. Lombardi Line, hope you're having a nice weekend. It, of course, is a championship week. Who's punching their ticket to the college football playoff? We know this. TCU, if they win and beat Kansas State for a second time in the Big 12 championship game, Michael Lombardi, they're going to be in. I'll set you up on the number, and then we can dive into this very interesting rematch. Right now, Kansas State, TCU, neutral. They're in Arlington at Jerry World. Most shops TCU won, but a couple of pick-ems as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, go back to the last game. It was a very close game, and Kansas State, you know, faltered, lost by 10. It was only their second loss of the season. They lost earlier in the year to Tulane. Tulane is a good team, right? Tulane's ranked Absolutely. 18th in the country. You never would have known that, okay? And that was a 17-10 game. Now, to me, this is a game that's really going to come down to, can Kansas State play well enough on defense? You know, they got really far behind against Texas. Texas was able to run the football on them effectively, and that's a problem. And so, but when you look at this team, I mean, they're 14th overall in the country in terms of total defense. They only give up, they give up less than 20 points a game. So that's impressive. But their run defense is 56th overall in the country. The relative rushing defense is 36th. That gives TCU an advantage because TCU can run the football. They average almost 200 yards a game rushing. So TCU's got to play from in front and force the pressure on this Kansas State offense to see if they can do that. And I think it'll be a back and forth game. Both teams are tough. That's the one thing I like about both teams. Both teams are tough. I just think TCU's been in a lot of these games, they're used to it. And if they can throw the football when they have to.
We'll start with Kansas State, then I'll take you to TCU and get into the fact that Sonny Dykes in his first year has done a hell of a job. Duggan's been awesome. You mentioned Kendre Miller, who ran for 153 yards and two scores against K-State the first time. But let's go to K-State and Chris Kleiman. This is a guy that racked up FCS titles at North Dakota State. It just shows you. It's what you talk about all the time. Either you can coach or you can't. Whatever level, it doesn't matter. This dude has come to Kansas State. He brought in Adrian Martinez. Martinez flourished under Kleiman. That's one. His defense has gotten better. It's just really a hell of a job by Kleiman there at Kansas State.
You know, and look, we talk about toughness, right? We talk about, you know, how do you develop toughness in your team? How do you do that? And one thing where Kleiman's been able to do is his special teams are one of the best special teams in the country. They're 10th overall. You know, whereas TCU's special teams struggle. They're not as good as Kansas State. So he's got that toughness. You get toughness from coaching the kicking game. You know, when you emphasize the kicking game and you demand in the kicking game, your team becomes tough. And I think ultimately that's really where he is. And their defense plays well, you know, and they battle. I mean, look, they battled Texas. They get way behind in that game, and they just ran out of gas against Texas. And Martinez, who I feel like I've been watching Martinez play for the last 25 years, you know, actually played better for Kleiman than he ever did at Nebraska.
Okay, so he is key, Martinez, when capping this game. Let's go back to October 22nd, down in Fort Worth. TCU beat Kansas State 38-28. Now, Kansas State outplayed TCU big time in the first half, Michael, but there were adjustments made. Remember, the big factor on October 22nd was TCU prepared for Adrian Martinez. Adrian Martinez on the second series got injured. In comes Will Howard. All of a sudden, they're throwing bombs. It's a completely different playbook from Kansas State. They go to the half. TCU adjusts and they come out and outscore them 21-0 in the second half. Like, I don't see what people are missing about this TCU team. They've adjusted and played better defensively in the second half pretty much every game this year. They've met every challenge and they already beat Kansas State. Everybody, including Matt Eumanns, who's coming up in about 24 minutes. I believe he's on, I won't give it away, but he might be on Kansas State today as well.
I think everybody's going off the premise it's hard to beat a team twice in the same season. And Utah just proved you can do that, right? And everybody wants to make the adjustments. But I do think Sonny Dykes' team has got a broader scope to everything. It's just a hard game. And how many games are you going to play where you're constantly in a battle? You're constantly challenged. And, you know, people think eventually that rubs off. It's like Minnesota. How many more games can Minnesota continue to win where they are, you know, not exactly, you know, that looks like they win ugly? But iron strengthens iron. And the more you win those close games, the stronger you become. And I think that's what TCU is. And I frankly think TCU belongs in the top four. As Felica said, and I didn't hear him say this, but you're right. If this is Oklahoma or Texas, I mean, we couldn't wait to put him in there. Are you kidding me? If this would have been Texas's team this year, they couldn't wait. I mean, they go into Texas and beat Texas. You know, the great Steve Sarkisian's team, you know, who can score on anybody, right? They go down there and win 17-10.
Look, and you're 100% right about Kansas State. They're giving up under 20 points per, and they limit the opposing teams to explosive plays. So it might be worth looking at that total today, 60.5 Kansas State TCU. But let's give TCU a little credit. They're a little bit more balanced than they're given credit for. They didn't give an offensive score up down in Austin to Texas. Texas Tech passed for 139 yards on this defense. Like, it's not just Duggan in the offense. This is a very good defense. It's a balanced team. Special teams are a weakness, I agree, but they're a balanced team offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and you know, they're 51st in the country in turnovers gained, so they can create some turnovers, right? And they play to the level of the competition. I mean, they do a great job of adjusting in game, and I think they're well coached. I mean, the Baylor game tells you everything you know about that. Kicking that field goal, having gone through that, that's called game preparation when you can do that. And I think certainly Sonny Dykes deserves this, and he's done an incredible job for where this program. I mean, Patterson had always done a great job there. But Dykes has done a really remarkable job. And it's just not all, hey, we're going to throw it all over the lot. I mean, when you look at them, I mean, this team averages 5.1 per carry. Think about that, Patrick. I mean, they average 5.1 per carry.
But also, they've met every challenge. They ran the gamut. I'm just going to repeat this because look at this. This is four straight ranked opponents. They played Oklahoma, then 18. They then went to Kansas, who was 19 in the country. They then hosted Oklahoma State, who was 8th in the country. They then played Kansas State, who was 17th in the country. That was 4 weeks in a row. I mean, this is a team that has stepped up and met every challenge, and you just nailed it. The Baylor game, they had no reason to win it, but Dykes kept them in it. That great play at the end to kick the field goal with time running out. You know, Baylor may have outplayed TCU in that matchup, but TCU still won. I don't know what else they have to prove here.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you go through this, it's kind of like, how do you ever get respect, right? So TCU starts the season off, they're not ranked. And they go through 5 weeks of the season, they win every game, and they're still not ranked. It's not till week six of the college football season that they break the top 20. They get 17th. Then they went to 13th. Then they went to 8th. Then they stayed at 7. And then they've been at 4 all the way through week 13. Like, they've taken a long time to garner respect out of people, but all they've done is won. I mean, if Texas would have had three straight wins in a row, they would have been in the top 5 automatically. We just put them up there, right? It's just, to me, this is – college football is so much about the brand. It really is.
So let me ask you this, because it's said so many times and it's a rudimentary question, but hard to beat a team twice is really, handicappers say it all the time and just general sports fans as well. Why is that adage so applicable? Why do we hear it so much?
Well, because when you set up a game plan, you basically say, okay, this is how we want to play you, and this is what we're going to do. And so that game plan gets implemented, and it gets adjusted. Now the other team has a time to say, okay, here's how they want to play us. Here's how we match up personnel-wise. So players, coaches, and scheme. But why you can beat a team twice is when you can play right or left-handed, like Utah did yesterday, right? So even though we come in here and we think we have to run it, we can throw it. See, this is where I think TCU has an advantage. You know, they're 7th in the nation in pass per attempt. I mean, they can throw it and they can run it. So if you're climbing and you want to take away what they do, they have an answer for something else. That's how you can beat a team twice. You've got to be able to be multidimensional. Like, for example, last year when Georgia played Alabama in the opening game, in the first game in the conference championship, Alabama had an advantage because they could declare, they could play a different way. But once they declared it in the second game, Alabama didn't have another way to go. They couldn't change. They didn't have enough versatility, and Georgia knew the plan. So then Georgia could game plan that specific plan, whereas TCU could come out with a completely different plan this game and see what Kansas State does.
You remember what Vinny from behind the book there at the South Point told us TCU's odds were preseason to win a national championship?
200-1.
How about this? Also, K-State and TCU, Big 12 championship game. Both teams were double-digit odds to win the conference title as well. So, I mean, this is it's a remarkable job by Klieman and Sonny Dykes just to have these two teams in the Big 12
Klieman's
championship
good coach.
Games.
Klieman's a very good coach.
He's a very good coach. Okay, Georgia is going to host. We call it hosting. It's in Atlanta. Might as well be a hosting job there for Georgia. LSU. In the SEC championship game. You know who's going to have the skinny? Our boy. He's Chick-Chack Johnson. He's coming up next from the Beau Rivage down there in the Bayou. 1-0 right now, Netherlands over the USA.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line on a Saturday as we welcome you back, presented by BetMGM. Any NBA game, one game parlay, four legs or more. If you miss one leg, you can receive up to $25 in free bets. It's an awesome deal over at BetMGM. So again, one game parlay, four legs or more. If one of your legs misses, so you hit three of four, you're going to get $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal from the King of Sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. The app's been reconfigured. It looks great. It's easy to in-game wager over there at BetMGM. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Okay, we got you back. This is fascinating. What's fascinating about Michael Lombardi, he doesn't have to know the sport, but he's just an old scout. He's a guy that's been involved in sports his whole entire life, and he called it out perfectly. Yes, the Netherlands, the Dutch team is up right now on USA 1-0, but as you mentioned, they're on their front foot. They're spending a lot of time in the Netherlands zone here, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, but I think we just gave up another score, Patrick.
Oh, geez. Carl Johnson joins us from the Beau Rivage, where he said it's been buzzing down there at the Beau all week. He runs the race and sports book. Carl, yes, another goal for the Dutch. That's a bad look for us. Hi, Carl.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Michael. It's been a good week. You know, I was saying off air, you know, I think that if soccer would market, I think if we did this every year, I mean, man, how great it would be. I mean, we got a packed house watching these soccer games. You know, and ordinarily these country folks down here, they don't know anything about soccer, but it's been a good week for us.
Yeah, you know, I don't know anything about soccer, but this game to me, and I've been watching it off to the side, this is one of those games where the Americans have won time of possession, but the Dutch have been more effective scoring. And when the ball gets in the Dutch zone, they make something happen. When we get it down in their zone, we haven't. So it's like time of possession in football. It doesn't matter how long you have the ball. It matters what you do with it. You know,
it's called and I think being this clinical. Game,
yeah, this it's game, called, to me, that's what I see. And,
you're right.
I don't know anything about soccer.
They've been more clinical in the final third. That's the final third of the pitch, and the Dutch are up 2-0 as we head to the break. Just absolutely disheartening. Carl Johnson, we say hi to you, of course, the Beau. Thank you for dealing with our little play-by-play there in soccer. Let's get to these championship games. What are you laying down in Atlanta? It's a home game for Georgia, even though they split the tickets. LSU off that A&M loss. What's the number there?
Yeah, so, I mean, we opened up 17.5, 51.5. We're still at 17.5 and 52. Right now the ticket count and the money, LSU's getting 55% of the money, 65% of the ticket count on that plus 17.5. But I want you guys to know something. I've thrown myself out there all week. I was on primetime Thursday night. I actually believe – that LSU will win this game outright.
Wow.
I'm throwing myself out there. I like them outright today. Boy, and you talk about really screw these top four up. Just think about what that'll do, huh?
Well, and give me and what's your handicap on why that would be?
Michael, it's just a situational for LSU. You know, they screwed the pooch last week. I mean, they laid an egg against Texas A&M. You know, this is their championship. I think they've done a good job down there. I think they've built a solid program. I think they're going to be really fired up. I think Georgia has shown. Now, I think Georgia's the best team in the country, but I think they've shown some vulnerability this year. They struggled with Kent State. They struggled with Vandy. You know, they've had some games where they hadn't shown up. And if this happens to be one of them, if LSU can control the football, not turn it over, you know, get to the fourth quarter with a chance to win this thing, I think it can happen.
Are you hanging a money line price on that one there at the Beau?
Yeah, right now we're at like plus 625, which, you know, so look at Georgia minus 1,000, okay? You know, I like to think of it this way. If you played this game 10 times, you know, and teams were the same, I mean, do you think Georgia would win every single time here? I don't see that. I think the expected value, we call it plus EV. I think it goes to LSU. You know, I think even if Georgia won 70% of the time right here, LSU money line is the play.
Good job, Carl. Wow. Take a stand.
I love
to see it. A 17.5-point dog, Carl Johnson, putting his neck out there. That's what makes Carl great. Purdue, Michigan. My assumption is right close to the same number as we've got with Georgia and LSU down at the bow.
Yeah, opened up 16.5. It's been stale pretty much all week. We're at 16.5, 52.5 now. That's up from 51.5. Michigan getting the money and the tickets here about 60-60. Should be a good game. I know some smart money is on Purdue, but I like Harbaugh a little bit in this one. I don't know how you guys feel, but real good football game last week from them.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a game where you're going to be nervous if you take Michigan and lay the points. You're going to be nervous in the first half because Michigan takes some time to get going. But once they wear you down, once they play with physical toughness, they end up coming back. And I mean, look, I love how they're playing. I love the demeanor of their team. Even without Blake Corum, who went under knee surgery, they're still playing really well. And I think ultimately that they'll wear down, they'll put pressure on the passer, and they'll wear them down. I think it'll be a close game to start off with, though. I really do.
Yeah, Ohio State, you nailed it, Michael. They had no answers for that Michigan offensive line. And then Blake Corum, their Heisman contender, goes down. Then Donovan Edwards comes in, 22 for 216 on the ground against Ohio State and 2 touchdowns. Purdue's rush defense is a sieve. I don't think they have problems with Purdue today. It just depends on motivation for Michigan once they get ahead. Okay, let's go Kansas State TCU here. Jick Jack, what do you got on that number?
Yeah, so this is going to be one of our biggest games of one of our single biggest games of the year here. Right, we opened at 2.5, 62.5. Right now we're at 1.5, minus $1.05, and 61.5. And I got to tell you, I was telling you guys off air, we are a seven digit figure high to the Kansas State money line. We need TCU, and that's just at my place.
Wow.
We're going to need TCU really big today for about 7 digits.
Wow. 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 And where's this money coming from, Carl? Has Mattress Mac been in the place? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen Mattress in a few weeks. We'll see him again. But, no, this is coming from one of our regular good customers. You know, he likes to play big, and he's got just off of him, we got 4 six-digit tickets factored in with a single game and also some parlays.
Oh, man, they're showing the replays. The Dutch were so surgical in the final third as they're up 2-0 at the break. Carl Johnson joining us here on the Lombardi Line. ACC, it's been a down year for the ACC, but they've got a championship game today, Carl. Clemson, North Carolina, where are you sitting with that number?
Yeah, opened here 7.5, 63.5. We're at 7.5 minus $1.05 and still at 63.5. UNC is getting all the money, 80% of the money, with a 60% ticket count at my place right now.
Wow. Carl, let me ask you this question. You're an odds setter. You guys, where would you be if TCU loses? Would you keep them in?
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, me personally, we've talked about this before. I mean, you know, if you just went off of odds making, Alabama would be favored over most of these teams right here.
Wow.
I'm going to find a way. Me personally, I think, I'm going to catch a lot of wrath for this. But I think if they get beat here today, I think you got to put Bama in there. I mean, I really do.
Wow.
See the championship odds there, Michael. Bama's still sitting 20-1. TCU's 12-1. I mean, just the disrespect. TCU's 12-0.
Ohio State's 4-1. I mean, gosh almighty. I mean, Ryan Day sitting there, he hadn't had it done a thing. He just sit back. He had a cocktail, watches the game. Oh, we're back in it again. I mean, we didn't really play a hard schedule all year. The only tough game we had to play, you know, it was against Michigan, and we got our butts beat again at home. But, yeah, we'll come back in it again. No problem.
Yeah, you know, and you guys were hitting on this earlier. I think it's real important this time of the year for these teams to finish high. I'm going to use LSU as an example. They need to finish high this year. And so that if you look at their schedule for next year, they've got a legitimate schedule to make a national championship run. But if they start off at a ranking of 22nd in the country, it takes a while to climb that ladder. So if
Yeah, I mean, ask TCU. It took them 6 weeks to get into the top 20.
Yeah.
Championship week. My guess is it's championship cuisine for Jick Jack down at the Bow. What are you eating today, my man?
You know, Patrick, look, this is one of them days where I'm either going to do this. I'm going to wait until after this TCU Kansas State. I'm either going to eat real good or I'm going to drink a whole lot.
Oh, you got a big decision on that one. Ooh, Carl's I'm gonna be pulling for you. And great job out of Carl. He likes LSU. Forget the points. Screw those points. Yeah. Straight up, they're gonna beat Georgia.
Go right
today.
To the money
SEC.
Line. Go right to the money. Speaking of a money line, when we come back, thank you, Carl. When we come back, there's an interesting money line I want to talk about in pro to when we come back.
Okay, and we'll get to Matt Eumanns as well. Good tease, Michael Lombardi.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.